Well, here we are at the end of 2015. It has been a good year. And as you look back on this year, when you look at your life, what difference has your life made in the lives of the people around you? That's the question that I want us to ask ourselves today. When we look at our lives, how has my presence made a difference, a positive difference, in the life of somebody else? Because as Christians, we need to be making a difference in the people around us. Christianity is about change. When we hear the gospel, it needs to change us. It needs to change our hearts. It needs to cause repentance and cause us to start going in a different direction. But that change doesn't stop with just us. That change spills over into the people around us so that the other people start living their lives differently as well. As Jesus talked about, people need to see my good deeds and they need to glorify my Father who is in heaven. When people see me, they need to be redirected towards God. But it's not just the people out there outside of this building. We need to be making a difference in the lives of the people right here in this building, the lives of the people in our family. Husbands need to be leading their wives. Wives need to be winning their husbands to Christ. And we as a church, we need to be encouraging each other. We need to be building each other up. We need to be teaching each other. We need to be edifying each other. God wants us all to be leaders. He wants us to be making a difference. He wants us to be teachers. He wants us to be helping each other to get to heaven. And so what I want to talk about this morning is how to make a difference. Because a lot of times, that's hard. You know, I can make a difference in my life. I can change me. But how do I don't have control over you. How do I change you? That's a whole different thing. You make your own decisions. So how do we make a difference in the lives of others? What we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at a man in the Old Testament who I believe was an incredible example of making a difference, making a huge transformative difference. This man single-handedly transformed an entire nation. And this is a man who we don't study as often as maybe Abraham or Moses. This is the man, Samuel. Samuel, turn back in your Bibles. Let's start moving there. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. We're going to begin in chapter 1. I want to look at Samuel's life as a whole. Because Samuel was a man who took a nation that was really at one of its lowest points, almost at the brink of destruction, and he brought it up to one of the highest points that you see in all of its history. Samuel did some amazing transformation for that nation. And when we study Samuel, I want it to help us to see how we can make a difference in our families, in the church, in the people around us, in our friends, in our co-workers, how we can be the kind of people who make a difference and who are leaders. You know, there's a temptation when we study a character in the Bible to think that his situation was very different than mine. This man, he had a different kind of purpose, a different kind of calling. That's not the situation I'm in. And therefore, maybe he doesn't apply to me the way that other characters do, or whether he's just too far removed. But I don't think that's the way the early Christians studied their Bibles. And I say that because you look at passages like Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, here you have the Hebrew writer goes through and he lists all these different characters. And he says, be like Abraham. Live like Moses. Be like Joseph. And he takes all these characters who are in entirely different situations. And yet he says, I want you to follow their example. And then, you know who the very last character he mentions in that huge list of all those characters? The very last one he mentions is Samuel. There is something huge that we can learn from the life of Samuel. And that's what I want to do this morning. Samuel was born during the terribly chaotic and dismal time, the period of the judges. The period of the judges was a time where the nation of Israel was far, far removed from God. They were just in the midst of turmoil. Not only was it religious turmoil, not only were they worshiping idols and not worshiping God and not following God's law, but it was political turmoil. the nation was really on the verge of anarchy, where there was nobody really ruling. It was just sort of chaos. And so here you had a nation that was just in the depths of darkness. And here Samuel had a way of taking this nation from those very dark, dismal depths all the way up to the magnificent reign of King David. And here King David was held up as the model king for years to come. All the other kings were compared to David. Even David, who had so many faults, David was held up as this man who was after God's own heart. And he expanded the borders of the nation and brought the nation as a whole to a level that they've never experienced before. And I believe so much of that was through the work of Samuel, as we're going to see this morning, the way that Samuel took them from these depths of sin to the heights of Zion. So how do you do that? How do you make that kind of a difference? Well, let's look at it this morning. When you look at Samuel's life, he lived among these people that were living in wickedness. There was just so much sin and perversion at that time. And yet, Samuel was a man who was different. And you see him being different in all sorts of ways, even from very early on. His childhood was a huge contrast. The early chapters of 1 Samuel give this picture of this boy being completely different from all the people around him. And that started way back with when, as we read in that scripture reading, when Samuel's mother comes and dedicates him there at the temple. Now the temple, you would think the temple of all places would be a place where people would worship God, a place of prayer. But things had gotten to such a terrible, dismal state that here even God's own house was just perverted. Here, the high priest at the time was a man named Eli. And he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were both serving as priests at that time. And they were horribly corrupt men. When people would come and they offer sacrifices to God, the Hophni and Phinehas would come and they start trying to steal the sacrifice. These guys were crooks. And so you think about how would Samuel grow up to be a religious leader when he lives in an area of religious corruption? And the answer is what we see with Samuel's life is his life is pointed in a different direction. Samuel is different from the people around him. Here, all of these people are living in this sin, and Samuel's pointed it in a different way. And we see that in a number of ways. One of them is the way that he worshiped God. Look with me at the very last verse of 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is the last verse that we just read in that scripture reading. Here is Hannah comes and she dedicates her son to God and says, "My son is going to serve the Lord." Look with me at verse 28. "Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Do you see how big that statement is? Here's this little kid. I mean, really, really little. We don't know how small, but pretty tiny. And yet, when Hannah brings him and dedicates him, he falls down and worships God. And what makes that so incredible is that's not what was going on at the temple at that time. He's living in this nation of people who were not worshiping God. And here's this young child who knows what it's about. And he, right from the very beginning, he's dedicated to worship to God. And you see that through his whole life as he builds altar after altar and as he leads the people in worship to God. In order for me to draw others to God, I need to draw near to God myself. It's a critical first step that I need to have my life focused and pointed towards God if I'm going to make a difference in the lives of other people around me. But not only was he focused on worship, he was also a man who listened to God. And it was at a time when nobody else was listening to God. Turn over to chapter 3 now. The very first verse of chapter 3, the writer makes it very clear, people aren't listening to God. The communication path between God and humans has somehow broken down here. And it says here in verse 1, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." Here we're dealing with a time in history where very little of the Bible has been written. And so God is still speaking to prophets, and he's giving people visions, and he's communicating his word directly to people in that way. And at this point, it says, that just wasn't even happening much. For some reason, with these people living such a sinful life, there just wasn't that communication between God and man anymore. And yet, what you see in this chapter is the very opposite with Samuel. When we drop down to verse 10, it says, "And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" Samuel said, "I'm listening, God. I hear what you're saying. I'm listening to you, God." Now here we have God's written word, his complete revelation to us. And we need to be listening to that. We need to be studying it and learning. And even when the people around us, when we're surrounded by people sometimes who don't listen to God's word, we need to be like Samuel, who listened to what God has to say. And that's what Samuel did. And you know, when he listened to God, and when he was different, he was a man who was different in that he wanted to hear what God had to say about these things. You know what happened? It gave him a reputation. Other people around him noticed that. Other people saw, here's a godly man. And we see that in chapter 3, verse 20. Verse 20 says, "And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord." Everybody around him could see that. When he was a man who prepared himself and he was worshiping and he was listening, other people saw that. They saw, hey, that doesn't look like the other people around us. That doesn't look like Hophni. That doesn't look like Phinehas. That doesn't look like all these other people who we typically think of as religious people. This looks like someone who's different. He's someone who actually cares about God. And that developed trust. If we're going to be leaders, people have to trust us as someone who's trying to follow God. And that's going to be key for the rest of the things we're going to see with Samuel's life here. He was a man who people could see his character. Well, for the nation of Israel, things start to get even worse. As you follow along through this book of Samuel, things start to go from bad to even worse politically. The other nations start to charge in and attack them, and the terrible, evil nation of Philistia comes in, and they get this huge force, and they attack Israel, and they win the battle. And they win to such an extreme that they even take the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, and they steal it, and they take it back to their idol temple. And the people of Israel are devastated. Here they are. We've lost this huge war. We've lost so much. We've been ransacked. And we've lost the Ark of the Covenant. The most holy possession, the most sacred thing of everything they have, the thing that symbolized the presence of God. And it was so clear to the nation then, God's not with us. Whatever we've been doing, we did it all wrong. Because God's not here with us. As one of the women there says, she says, "The glory has departed from Israel." And that just seemed to capture the sentiment of everyone. It's over. What have we done? How have we lost this? What are we going to do? And even after the ark finally comes back, after they finally get the ark back, people are still devastated. How did it ever come to this? And it's at this moment when everybody's throwing up their hands and trying to think, what are we supposed to do? That a man like Samuel can stand up and be a leader. And that's what he does. At that moment, Samuel stood up. And Samuel is the one who starts. When everybody's running around saying, what do we do? I don't know. We messed up somewhere. Samuel's the one who starts going. And when Samuel starts that momentum, you know what happens? People follow. And that's exactly what you see in this chapter. Turn over to chapter 7. In chapter 7, we have this great revival as Samuel brings the people back to God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3, it says, "And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, 'If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and Ashtoreth from among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines.' So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreth, and they served the Lord only." Now look what he does. He teaches the people. Here he goes and he says, he stands up in front of everyone. He says, here's what God wants you to do. You've been living this way. That's not right. You need to get rid of those idols and you need to worship God alone. Now, why is it that the people would have even listened to him when he says that? How is it that this man can just stand up in front of these people and say, let's do this, as people do it? I think it's because of all the things we just talked about, that he's built a reputation, that the people, when they hit that time of chaos in their life where they feel like, I don't know what to do, they look to someone who seems like he does know what to do. They look to someone, when they're finally ready to turn back to God, they find the person who looks godly, and they follow him. You and I need to be that person. We need to be the kind of person where when our coworker is going through that divorce and he or she's kind of not sure what they're doing in their life, they come to us and they say, you know, I've seen you reading your Bible on your lunch break a lot. Do you think you can help me with some questions? We need to be that kind of person who people trust, who people see as that's a godly person who's trying to follow God. And that we can go out and we can teach people and they want to listen because we have the reputation behind us. That's the way Samuel was. And he not only taught people, but his teaching called for change. He called people back to God. His teaching was not, he didn't just pat people on the head and say, you know, I understand that's hard, but you know, God still loves you, it's okay. He said, look, you're going the wrong way. It's time to turn around. Let's go this way now. And people followed him. That's the kind of leader he was. He called for repentance. Get rid of those idols. Let's do what's right from now on. That he was a man who had the courage to seize the opportunity to say, this is what needs to be done, to stand up in front of everybody, seize the opportunity, and act. And that was coupled with what may be the most important ingredient of all of that, prayer. He was a man who prayed to God. Look with me down at verse 8. 1 Samuel 7, verse 8. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Samuel was a man who prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And the people said, don't stop praying for us. We need God. Samuel didn't stop praying. He prayed. At this point, he's praying for their forgiveness. He's praying for their salvation. And God answered. If you want to make a difference in the life of someone else, pray for them. Ask God to make that difference. Ask God to help you make a difference in the life of that person. Because you see prayer not only here, but you see it routinely throughout the whole life of Samuel as he cries out to God over and over and over again. That is key to leadership. Well, Samuel was not only a man who knew how to start, but he was a man who knew how to keep going. When he started in that direction, it wasn't just a one-time event. He kept going. And when he kept going, the people kept going and they kept following. They kept following him. You know, change doesn't happen overnight. Change doesn't happen in just one big revival and everybody changes and it's over. The revival might get things started, but it's going to take the consistency to keep it going. And that's what it took for Samuel. He was consistent, teaching people and praying for people and praying for people and calling for change over and over and over through his whole life. And you see that in the same chapter. You see this phrase that says, Samuel judged Israel. Look with me at verse 6. So they gathered at Mizpah. This is chapter 7, verse 6. So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. This phrase, judged, is a little bit confusing the way it's used in the Old Testament. We usually think of judge as like someone who decides legal disputes or something of that nature. In the Old Testament, many times it was used to describe a leader. And that could have been a military leader, or it could have been a leader of some other kind. In the book of Judges, you have these military leaders who they were a judge, and that they would come in and they would lead the armies out and they would defeat the bad guys and they would rescue the nation. And that was called judging. In this case, judging is describing what we just read about. The things that he does in this chapter, the way that he leads the people in repentance, the way he teaches the people, the way he calls people back to God. That was the way he judged Israel. And you see that once you drop down to verse 15, it shows you the consistency with that judging. He says here in verse 15, Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah. And he judged Israel in all of these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there. And there also he judged Israel, and he built there an altar to the Lord. So here it says he judged Israel. What does that mean? It means all the things we just talked about, the things we just saw at Mizpah, where he calls people back to repentance. But then it says he did that his whole life. The writer is giving us a little snapshot. Here's what it looked like at Mizpah. Now, that happened his whole entire life. And the way he'd do that, he would go up and go to this city and then this city and this city, and he'd travel around. Each year he'd go on this big circuit all over the whole land of Israel, teaching people and helping people and teaching people all the way around until he finally came all the way back to his house. And what does he have at his house? He's got an altar, of course, because he's a man who's all about worship. That's very fitting. But you see in that consistency, you see some hard work. You see this dedication to God, that he would every year go on this huge journey all around, working and working and working and working and working. If you want to make a change in someone's life, it's probably not going to be an easy thing. It's not going to be a thing where I just come in and I have that Bible study with them and they change and then all right, on to the next person. It's going to take time and time and time and work and energy and effort and sweat and disappointments and trying to help this person get closer to God. It takes consistency, and that's what we see. But then, what happens when there's a disappointment? You know, I wish we could have ended the sermon right there, and it would have just been the happy thing where we say, and that's what leadership is, and it's great, and you lead people, and they come to God. But that's not an accurate picture of leadership. Because there are times where people, where you stand up and you lead people and everybody follows you and it's great. And then there's times where everybody turns away. And where everything falls apart. And all of that leadership that you've been doing, all of that change you've been trying to accomplish, just falls apart into nothing. And that's what happens to Samuel when he suffers a huge disappointment. When you get to the next chapter, here it says that He's old now. We've gone through his whole life, and now he's right here at the end, and he's old. And then the people come to him and say, Samuel, we want a king. And he says, what? A king? But God's your king. And they say, we want a king because we want to be like the other nations. We want to be like all those other people. And you can just imagine how appalled Samuel is. Have they not been listening to anything I've been teaching them this whole time? Want to be like the other nations? That's exactly what God doesn't want you to be. Want to be like the other nations? God is your ruler. Haven't you gotten that in any of the things that I've taught you? And poor Samuel, he is devastated. But the people go and they get a king, and his name is Saul. And Samuel works with this king, and he works with this king, and he tries to help him. And he tries to help him be the leader that he needs to be. And then we have the second huge disappointment. When Saul fails miserably. When it becomes tragically apparent that Saul is not a man pointed in the right direction. That Saul is a man who's facing in exactly the wrong direction. He's leading the people towards sin. And once again, Samuel is so upset. Read with me. Jump all the way to chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15, verse 10, the word of the Lord came to Samuel, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. Do you see the way that Samuel... The way that Samuel responded, he was angry. How could he have done this? I've worked with him so hard. I've tried to teach him. And he took his own path. And Samuel's so angry. He cries out to God over and over and over. the discouragement that that must have been. Here Samuel's worked with this nation his whole entire life. He's devoted his every ounce of his energy to helping these people. And now to see the way that the people have turned away from God and the way that their leader has turned away from God, what's going to become of this nation? You know, there's times where you're working with someone, and if you're a leader, you're leading them and you're trying to help them and you're trying to make a change, and then they go off and they completely disappoint you. And they do something that, how could you have done that? It's like you're building, putting block after block as you lead people, and then someone comes in and they take that bottom block out, and you've got nothing. And how do you go on when it all falls apart like that? Well, here's what God says to Samuel. Turn with me to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 1, God gives some great advice to Samuel here. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." You know, there was a time for him to grieve. When there was that sin, it was good for him to be torn up inside and to grieve over that sin. But then God says, it's time to get back up, and it's time to work. And you know what Samuel does? He learns to start over. Here was a man who he knew how to start. He knew how to be the kind of leader that when that need comes, he stands up and he says, "Let's go." But then he needed God to teach him that when everything falls apart, there's a time to start over again. And that's exactly what you see here with Samuel. That Samuel learns how to start even when things have fallen apart. But it's not that God just gives him some motivational speech that, "Samuel, you know, put a smile on your face. You can do it. Just keep going. It's all right. You can keep going." It wasn't some sort of trite advice. You see the depth of what God says here? The reason Samuel needs to pick himself up and keep going is because God is still going. The reason that Samuel needs to start again is that God never stopped, that God's still working, and God's still going to accomplish his purpose. Here God says, I've got another king. Just because this person failed on me, that doesn't mean that my whole plan fell apart and I'm not going to accomplish my will. You know what? I've got another king, and he's going to do what I need him to do. God doesn't stop working. And as long as God is working, I can be working. And so he could keep going because God was still going. And when we face those challenges and those disappointments and we want to quit, things are difficult, we need to remind ourselves, God hasn't quit. Just because the world around me in this little picture seems to be falling apart, that doesn't mean that it's all over. Because God will still reign. God will still accomplish his end goal. Amen. Well, when Samuel does this, when he picks himself up and he goes and he anoints David as king, David becomes a great ruler. And he becomes the greatest ruler that the nation had ever had at that time. He becomes a great king who leads the people to great physical victory and also to some spiritual victories. And he established that dynasty that eventually Jesus himself would be descended from. And you know what's interesting about that? Thinking about Samuel as the one who got all this ball rolling here. That all of that happened, that the real success that happened from Samuel's ministry didn't happen until after he was gone. That after he was dead and in the grave, that's when the real fruit of all of his labor really came about. And we need to see that we're sometimes just a small little part of the picture. That the work we do, God takes that and he uses it and he uses it and he uses it. And even long after we're gone, he fulfills his great glory through that work. Well, those are four points that will help us very much, practical points that will help us in being the kind of leaders that God wants us to be. Being the kind of leaders who know how to start, know how to make a difference, how to make a change in other people. But there's one huge point that we've overlooked here. In all of this, there's one big glaring point in Samuel's life that I believe is really the heart of how to be a leader. And so look back with me over this. Look at what we've covered. Here's what we've seen with Samuel. We've seen that Samuel was a man who worshiped God. That was his focus. He was bowing down before his Father in heaven. He was a man who listened to God. That was his focus. He was a man who had a godly reputation. People saw him and they saw a man who was following God. He was a man who, when he opened his mouth, he taught people about God. He was a man who called people back to God. He was a man who constantly was praying to God. He was a man who was fully dedicated in all his work, sweat and energy and tears to serving God. He was a man who, when things went wrong, he could keep going because he knew that God was still working. You see the story of his life? Samuel was able to make a difference because God made a difference. If you want to make a difference in the life of someone else, follow God. Be an example of a person who is fully dedicated to God. And when we do that, God will make the difference. It is my prayer that we all here at this church will be fully dedicated to God, and that through that we will have make a difference throughout this whole community. That if you are not yet a Christian this morning, then please come forward, repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ, and dedicate your life fully to God. If you're subject to that invitation, then please come forward as we stand and as we sing.